Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. With us, we have Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine. And here for his radio debut, the general manager of the five-star Costa Baja Resort in beautiful City of Peace, La Paz, Baja California, Sir Eduardo Herrera. Eduardo, thanks for coming in.
Welcome. Hi, John. How are you? Hi, Mark. How are you?
Well, good, good.
Well, I have to, a couple of things real quick. I have, Mark, I think you've been to La Paz, but it really is one of my favorite places, and I'm so excited that the possibility that Eduardo is going to be helping us out from time to time and giving us more updates and reports and why we should even want to go to La Paz. Now, I've got my own ideas, but this show is not just about me. We're supposed to be talking to Eduardo. But if you want to, Eduardo, why don't you give us a little bit of overall background, maybe a little bit of history about the capital city of La Paz, Baja California, sir.
Sure, sure. Thank you very much. So the La Paz, Baja California is located just immediately, other people know, Los Cabos area. We are 2 hours from that airport, international airport. And La Paz is the capital of the state where we have a lot of history because there is a couple of events that they put at us in the history. That is one of them that, you know, the prize novel, John Steinbeck was right here, the novel of The Pearl, which is one of the most important novels that he won as a Pulitzer Prize. And it is important, La Paz, because we have an historic event where everybody knows that the pearl of the Queen England, the England Queen, has in the crown, it came from La Paz.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
That the pearl that she mm-hmm. has on the crown comes from La Paz.
Well, I don't know if it's history or if it is an urban legend, but from what I can understand, La Paz was basically the pearl capital of the world up until the beginning of the 1900s, I believe, or maybe shortly after that. And hundreds of years ago, the Spanish would go up to La Paz and load up with their booty. And then when they were going back down south, when they passed by the harbor of Cabo San Lucas, I think it was the English pirates would go out.
The English pirates.
Sink the boats, take the whatever they wanted. And that went on for many years. So it's a lot of history. It was one of the first places settled in the Americas.
That's correct. It's one of the places when you can find a beautiful pearls, different colors, black pearls, mm-hmm. pink pearls, white pearls. So.
And it was, I think it was, it was 1698? No, that was Loreto, but right around 1700, and it was when the city was established, yes?
Exactly. It's 1900.
Oh,
like 479 years.
Wow.
The foundation. Yeah.
Wow.
It's the oldest city in the mm-hmm. area.
Yeah, it was way before they landed at Plymouth Rock. But
the most important thing is that the population are the same. We don't have too much people here.
Right. Well, that's La Paz is a tourist town, but it's more for tourists from mainland Mexico. And the gringos that go down there don't want to tell anybody about it because they like it the way it is.
Exactly. All the people that know La Paz, nobody wants to share with their friends mm-hmm. because it's too pretty quiet, and mm-hmm. and it is nice
There's no children selling chiclets. You know, there's no hustlers. There's nobody selling nobody selling Cuban cigars at every couple blocks.
Yeah. Exactly. Nobody's selling timeshares.
I'd like to know, how's the fishing down there in La Paz? Do you have tuna and dorado and sailfish mm-hmm. all in? Relatively close there, or do you fish for something else?
Well, to Eduardo, I hope you don't mind if I jump in on that one, because I've fished there many, many, many times, even before you got down there. But Jacques Cousteau called the Sea of Cortez the aquarium to the world. And La Paz, especially in the spring, you go down when the manta rays are being frisky, and they'll be, flying in the air, jumping and playing. And then as the water warms up, you'll see dorado and marlin jumping. And this time of the year, the cooler water fish would be the yellowtail and the sierras are prolific. But yes, if you wanted to, even you know, on a fly rod, it started to become popular now to hook into some of those. And then, of course, you've got some awesome rock fishing. But right north of La Paz is Espiritu Santo, Eduardo?
Espiritu Santo Island, exactly. Espiritu Santo Island.
And that is, it's a national preserve, is it? What is that? Who owns that?
It's a national reserve where you can find more than 2,000 different species of fishes. It's a reserve, natural species reserve that we can, well, we take care about that, no?
Mm-hmm.
And you can swim. The most important thing is you can swim and you can enjoy the snorkeling with the sea lions, no?
Yes.
And if you have a lucky, you can different whales, and you can see whale sharks and fly rays. No?
Well, the also right down the street from you, and you also you know, within the same complex, you have dive shops. I know a lot of people from Japan and Germany will come over because the scuba diving is world class. The water during the summer and fall would be into the mid, maybe even the high 80s. And the water clarity is absolutely incredible. In 20 feet, you can throw a coin in the water, probably.
That's correct.
You can almost read the date. But it is it's awesome for that. So, and then the rock fish that are there. And I'm sure, Mark, that if you could take some of your bass gear down there, there's a lot of things that you'd have a lot of fun with.
I catch tuna on my bass gear, so I'm sure we could have a good time. I'm ready to just hang up and go on down right now.
Well, as a matter of
good clear water, good fishing, scuba diving.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a matter of fact, now that you bring that up, right now we're planning. I have to say it's tentatively planned because it was kind of a last minute put together, and we've only got about 90 days to fill this trip up. But Eduardo has invited us to come down to stay at the Costa Baja, a 5-star resort, and spend about four nights down there, I believe. But Eduardo, tell us a little bit about the hotel itself.
Okay, see, we are in a 5-star hotel, the only one in La Paz, and we have 115 rooms, some of them with ocean view and a golf course view because we have one of the best golf courses in Mexico. It's the only Gary Player golf course that we have in Mexico. And we have a marina for 250 sleeps. The four restaurants, we have a beauty high-end spa for all our guests. We have an vacation rental services. We have a condo services. So it's a beautiful development near on the beach, exactly on the beach. So we are promoting to have a different kind of because it's too rich to come to fish in La Paz. So we are promoting for species fishing trips. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're planning on putting a trip. We've got one. If you go to fishtalkradio.com, on the top of the homepage to the right, there'll be an icon that says Real Fun Adventures. Click on that, and it says Real Fun Trips 2014, and the first one is to La Paz. Very reasonable, and this is just a lot of fun, but you might even want to think about bringing a significant other on this one because you're going to be staying at one of the premier resorts. And to be able to stay at one of the premier resorts and the premier fishing at the price that we've got it at, you don't want to miss it. Eduardo, we're going to have to cut you loose, but obviously we're going to be having you on a lot more. Give us an idea how to get in touch with you.
So you can go directly with you and the fishingshow.com, but you can talk to us. We have an 800 phone number directly to the hotel. And we have a webpage, costabajaresort.com.
Okay. Right. And then, of course, if you just type in Costa Baja,
Costa Baja Resort,
La Paz, it'll pop up all over the place. You got a beautiful website, a beautiful, beautiful hotel with all the amenities, and we didn't even touch on everything that's there. So, Eduardo, we appreciate you joining us. You did a great job for your first time on the radio. You are listening.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Sorry,
we have Mark. Mark, you stay there. We're going to be right back with
Santa Barbara. Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-383-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-383-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island, minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at Costa Baja. BajaResort.com.
If you're looking for a magical and unique gift for someone special, look no further than the skies above you. Santa Barbara Soaring specializes in glider rides, making memories that last a lifetime. Experience Santa Barbara, the San Ynez Valley, and Central Coast with the silence of soaring. Purchasing a gift certificate is just a couple of clicks away. Visit SantaBarbaraSoaring.com. Pick your ride and the certificate will be sent directly to you just in time for the holidays. Let Santa Barbara Soaring help you provide the gift they'll never forget. SantaBarbaraSoaring.com.
The water on the lake is smooth as glass. We might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Let's go fishing.
Come on, let's go fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Mark Lassane on the line with us. And guess who just blew in off the water? We have Jason Grupp, the fly fishing guide that we're working with and putting some trips together. And by the way, Jason, I don't know, you should have called a little bit earlier, but we had Eduardo, the general manager of the Costa Baja Resort in La Paz, just on the line, and we talked a little bit about what we got going in April. And that is, we're going to talk some more about that, because La Paz is certainly one of my favorite places, if not the, because it's naturally beautiful, the people, but it's not overdone on the tourist side. But there's a lot of tourism there, but it's not like some of the other tourist towns that we can mention. But anyway, both of you guys, your passion is bass. Jason likes to fly fish, and then of course, Mark just likes to catch them. So why don't we just start off
talk about them, and
yeah, let's talk a little bit about it, and maybe you guys can give some tips for each other.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know, we're coming up on a great time of year for bass fishing. We're approaching the springtime, and here in California, it kind of seems like it's already spring, but this is the time of year when it starts to get pretty exciting. The spawn's coming up, and you know, getting into February, March, April, it's a great time of year to be on the water. And I'm going to actually tease you guys a little bit here. I leave tomorrow for Lake El Salto, Mexico, and they've got the big fish down there, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Are you taking your fly gear down to Mexico? And
oh yeah, yeah. I've got eight and nine weight rods in the boat, and some big topwater patterns, and then one pattern that works really well down there. It's actually a topwater pattern, but it's imitating a dying shad. So we throw these a light looking fly, looks like a shad, and you just twitch it on the surface, and these big 8-9 pounders come up and just destroy it. It's pretty fun.
That doesn't sound like any fun. I'd probably just stay home.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys are out throwing swim baits, and we were talking about this earlier. You know, going fishing for big giant ones, and you're fishing for flies, and you know, I bet you catch your fair share of big giant bass on flies.
Yeah, no, we just got about a 7-pounder off one of my home lakes, Lake Kachuma, on fly. Real small little bait fish pattern, fairly inexperienced client. I just taught him how to cast and got him out there, and he locked into a 7-pounder and hit the fly. Fish immediately came to the surface and did a big belly flop. We both about fell out of the boat when we saw it, but
oh, nice.
it was pretty exciting. So, and when you're on a fly,
yeah,
rod,
very, very exciting. You know, I know that, you know, we were talking about fishing a floating fly, and that's, you know, it's, even though it's a little teeny bait, it's really a big fish lure, especially when the water's really cold. And though I've never, you know, used a fly rod for bass, I fished a floating fly, and, you know, I catch a lot of good ones. First fish I ever caught on a floating fly was 8 pounds. So I could imagine that fishing, you know, small flies, you know, it's a non-intrusive bait that kind of goes by these big fish where they can just come up and bite it, and really, you know, especially the fish that are real wary, the real big ones, I would imagine you could do really well on flies.
Yeah, you know, I think some days I've got an advantage out there, you know, and I'll hear about tough days on the lake where guys using traditional, you know, type baits and bait casting gear, they're coming in off the water and they say they had a tough day and we went out on fly and killed it. So
yeah,
a lot of these fish, they're not seeing flies on a daily basis. So you find some good patterns that tap into the bass instinct, and it works. They're not seeing these patterns. It's presented in a different way. It completely looks different to them, and that can sometimes be the trick.
You know, one thing that I think a lot of guys don't think about is the angle of the presentation. So most bass guys, you know, when they're fishing, if they're fishing a worm or jig, they're throwing a vertical presentation, you know, getting it down the bottom and working it. And the fly is a whole different look. It's a horizontal presentation, plus it's really natural.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. One of these days I'm going to have to get John out there throwing flies and teach him how to do that. He's one of those saltwater guys. I'm going to have to put a fly rod in his hand one of these days.
Well,
get him going.
Well, I know that if I'm with you, Jason, we're going to catch fish no matter what. But of course, Jason has this little secret spot that you know. If you're someone like me that just like, that is not a patient angler and you like to catch fish, he'll keep you busy.
His own little honey hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, the key word to that is private water.
Yeah.
I've got a couple areas of private water that don't get a whole lot of pressure, and it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So. That makes it nice. So you guide? Do you guide on some private lakes?
I do. I do. I'm in Santa Barbara County, so central coast of California, and I've got a couple different lakes that I guide. One at Alisal Ranch. We've got a private 100-acre lake loaded with northern strain, and then I've got another little private body of water that we loaded with big rainbows out in Los Olivos, and then Lake Kachuma, which is a fantastic lake because it's a fishing-only lake. There's no water skiing. It's a reservoir for Santa Barbara. So it doesn't get a whole lot of pressure. Most of the guys that are out there are fishing-only, so it's really nice water. So I'm pretty lucky to have the water that I do have around here. And if anybody wants to look it up, Breakwater Tours is my website, Breakwater Tours, and you can see the different areas that I'm working around here.
And you've got a trip. You mentioned you got a trip to El Salto. You want to mention that real quick?
Yeah, you know, I host fishing trips to different places. Those are on my website as well. But I'm taking a dozen guys down to Lake El Salto, which is inland from Mazatlan, and in my opinion, it's the best bass fishing lake in the world. And I've been there over 10 times. We're addicted to the place. We go every year, usually around this time of year. And it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours inland from Mexico, or from Mazatlan. And they've just done a phenomenal job down there with the resort, the guides, the boats. It's just top-notch. And we average between 60 and 100 bass per day per guy. And my last, it's unbelievable. And last year, out of those numbers, I caught 20 fish over 7 pounds.
Wow.
My biggest
wow,
being 10
wonderful.
And a half. It's pretty good. So, if anybody wants to go down and do some Mexico fishing, let me know and I'll show you the way.
Do you mostly use flies down there or do you fish traditional also?
I fish both. So I bombard my guide with about a dozen rods onto the boat, but I bring two or three fly rods and then I usually bring 3, 4, or 5 bait casting setups. And so when I first go out, we're hitting topwater early morning. And then once, you know, things settle down on topwater in the morning, then I go to the bait casting and traditional gear, fish that all day. And then when we get back into that evening bite, I pick the fly rod back up and whack them with topwater, small bait fish patterns, different things like that. Again, down there, those fish are not seeing the flies. So I've caught some monsters down there on fly rod. It's pretty neat.
I imagine you see they're a lot more aggressive than the fish, you know, around your hometown.
Yeah, it's different. They're Florida strain bass down there. And here, I've got smallmouth. In California, I've got smallmouth, I've got northern strain and Florida strain. So we're chasing all three strains, and they all fish differently. The northern strains are a very aggressive fish, but they don't get huge. Where the Florida
right.
strain, they're a little more picky, but, you know, they're turning into these pigs from eating rainbow trout, basically. So it's different wherever you go.
Well, Jason, just a real quickly, I haven't been there, but from listening to you talk about it, the great thing is it's an example of what can be done when things are done right. It's a lake fish for tilapia that the locals, of course, they raise the tilapia, and then they give some of those tilapia to the bass for you to catch, and then you just catch and release the bass. So it is it's a great symbiotic relationship, and we think that's the way things are supposed to be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They've balanced the lake. The couple of lodges that are on the lake have worked with the locals to create a program that supports everybody, supports their commercial fishing, like you said, for the tilapia, and they catch and release the bass, which keeps us going down there. And so they've really balanced it out and worked with the locals, worked with us coming down there, and they've created just a fantastic lodge. And it puts a lot of them to work, too, at the lodge. These guides, you know, some of them have been guiding down there 20, 30 years. And it's just a great deal down there in Mexico, and it gives us a chance to fish, you know, some of the best bass lakes in the world.
We're in this segment, we got probably less than a minute. Any quick tips or comments for bass fishing this time of the year?
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was sleeping at the wheel here. So, this time of year, you can look for these bass staging. You know, you look for them, look for the deep haunts, and then right next to the shallow structure, you want to look for some ditches and the deep water next to the shallow structure where they'll be spawning. That's where those really big ones are going to start coming up. And
okay.
Whether
well,
you're throwing a fly or a swim bait, that's the place to get them.
That's a good tip. Main thing is get out there, right?
Get out there.
There you go.
You're not going to catch them sitting down and watching TV.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have been suffered a little bit more than we have on the West Coast, and they're anxious to get out there and get something.
Oh, you know, and I'm sure here on the West Coast, you know, we're having drought conditions, but the weather is just beautiful.
Okay.
So it's nice. Right. I imagine back east, it's not
well,
so much.
Well, if you guys don't mind, we're going to continue after a short break. We're going to see if we can get some reports locally out of California at Channel Island Sport Fishing and maybe even a lake report. But I think we're having a lot of fun. It looks like this is the time of the year to start talking about bass fishing and just fishing, especially for those that have been put through some tough times weather-wise. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com. Also go to bassanglermag.com, and we'll be right back.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real-world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Want to make your drive more exciting? It starts with Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. It's Ferrari's choice for improved performance. Shell V-Power removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. The result is the kind of performance that gives you more excitement behind the wheel. Choose Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline today, and let the excitement begin.
Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine or bassanglermag.com. Is that right, Mark?
That's right.
There you go.
BAM for short.
Okay. BAM. Okay. All righty. And then we also have a delightful young lady from Channel Island Sport Fishing, a.k.a. Cisco's, obviously in the Channel Islands area of kind of Central California. Amy, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice to be on.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about maybe some fishing in this time of the year. It's been, for those that are east of us, they've had a little bit different winter than we have. Matter of fact, we have, I guess you'd call it a winter because it's January, December, January, but it's been unseasonably warm. And, of course, you don't have to worry about the rain filling up the lakes because you guys fish in the ocean.
Yeah, that's right. No, not a big drought here.
No. And so the level of the ocean hasn't dropped a whole lot then.
Nope, not at all.
Okay. But it's an exciting time for you, and I know that is because every year for about 2 months, the Department of Fish and Game, I guess that's who does it, decides to let the rockfish take a little bit of a break and repopulate and relax without getting those anglers chasing them around. But that's coming up next weekend. You can go back out there.
Yeah, we're all pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the season opens up for rockfish, obviously you're going to be doing that, but give an idea a little bit about the species that you're going to be targeting and maybe how to do that and, you know, how deep of water you fish, that kind of stuff.
For rockfish?
Whatever you're going to be fishing.
Yeah, it's a big umbrella term for a lot of different species of fish, which is great. I'm a pretty simple fisherman. I, you know, just squid strips and anywhere up to 300 feet, really.
Okay. Well, now you mentioned a pretty simple fisherman. So squid's an interesting thing. And in the salt water, it's ubiquitous. I mean, you can use squid. I've used squid in Alaska, in Baja, and of course, along in California for top water, for bottom fish. It seems like you can use it for almost anything. And of course, I don't know, Mark, you don't do a whole lot of saltwater fishing, but I guess that's kind of the equivalent of a night crawler. I don't know. In
that,
freshwater.
You're talking about squids and throwing them down there for rockfish.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that a little bit. You know, we do that out in the bay, out San Francisco Bay a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, right outside the gate a little bit. Usually when we put the crab traps out, we go out and look for rockfish in between catching the crabs.
Well, along here and also at Cisco's Landing, they have their own bait boat. They go out and catch sardines and anchovies. And, you know, of course, live bait always is what you were looking for. But that squid just seems like it just always keeps working, doesn't it?
Always. Pretty universal.
Yeah. And by the way, you can catch more than one fish on the same bait.
Absolutely. You know it's working.
There you go. And so it starts, what is it, February? Starts beginning of February. When does it actually start?
The rockfish?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually March 1st.
Oh, March 1st. That's right. Okay. Yeah. January, February, March. Okay. Yeah. January, February. Right. Okay. Well, I guess we can hang on a little bit longer.
We'll see. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty antsy around here.
Mm-hmm. But you
now, is the rock fishing off the hook in the first part of March? Is it just really good when you go out and, you know, get one every couple drops? And
it is, yeah, it is. They're all pretty excited, too.
Well, it's
you get lingcod and sea bass and everything down there? And
yeah, we sure do. The lingcod's in April, the lingcod opener. But, yeah,
okay.
we knocked. Knock them dead and march with rockfish, absolutely.
And last year was a good year. All it has to do is continue on.
Yeah, I think it will.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing for fishing now? I know that you got boats going out all the time. I know that I guess the whales are still migrating. This is one of the peak seasons, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We have whale watching trips pretty much daily, on the weekends twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a great time out there.
Well, if anybody happens to be in this part of the world, they should go in and talk to Amy because there's still a lot of fun you can have on the water. You're still doing some fishing trips, even though that you may not be targeting certain rockfish, but there's a lot other fish out there for you to do. And I don't know if lobster hooping, is that still going on?
It's still season for them, but we're not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm. You already caught all you needed?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. But But just getting out there, and the weather has just been it's almost crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just been so nice and sunny that it's kind of, I don't know what's going to happen when we're supposed to be getting nice weather.
I love it.
It's been beautiful. We sure could use some rain, though.
Yeah. Well, as I said, Amy's not worried about that. She said the ocean hasn't dropped at all.
But I like my freshwater fishing, too. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more waters than those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, why don't we see if we can get some people to give Amy a call and get on one of the boats. How many boats do you have at Cisco's?
12 boats.
Well, you got them pretty much covered, don't you?
That's right.
Okay. Well, anyway, it is if you go to, was it CISCOS.com?
That's it.
Cisco's.com. It's an easy one.
It is.
All righty. Amy, as usual, you did a delightful job.
Thank you very much.
And again, we keep saying we're going to get you down to Mexico, and I think we're going to do that for sure this year.
Absolutely.
So that you can talk a little bit more on the radio about that kind of stuff also.
Okay. Sounds good.
All righty, Amy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Right.
Bye.
Okay. And Mark, something I talked about a little bit earlier, and I'm just kind of, maybe I'm a little bit curious about it, is squid does work almost everywhere, anywhere in saltwater. And I'm not really sure why, but, you know, it's, I think it's one of the, it has a very high concentration of biomass in the oceans, and I guess that's probably why, because you can find different types of squid everywhere. But as far as...
It probably tastes good. You know I like to eat squid, yeah. So, you know, I think that, you know, maybe all the things that swim and predator fish like to eat them too.
Yeah, well, I know it's a very big part of the diet for a lot of different kinds of fish, and there's a lot of different kinds of squid, you know, even the those giant... Humboldt squid that we see along here once in a while and down in Baja that get to be 40, 50, 60 pounds. Those are kind of scary. But
yeah, yes, they are.
Is there something comparable? You know, I said earthworms, but realistically, earthworms still work, don't they?
Sure they do. Sure, you know, that's guys fishing from the bank, you know, throwing a bobber with the earthworm. I mean, I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of bass caught on them every single year. You know, just like, you know, minnows are good. You know, bass, seems like they're changed their mood now and again, you know, kind of like we do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they want, shrimp or crawfish, and sometimes they want bait fish, and other times they want, you know, like a salamander, lizard, even a bird, or, you know, or maybe an earthworm.
Or a frog.
Yeah. You know, bass are omnivorous creature that you know, will pretty much eat anything that fits in its mouth.
Wow, that's interesting. Have you ever heard the old story? I don't know if it's an urban legend about the mouse on a plank.
Oh, you know, I think I recall hearing that story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not even sure I should mention it on the air, but, you know, supposedly you get like a shingle or a little plank and put a mouse on it with a little hook in it and just let it go. Out in the water, when it gets out there, you know, with, you know, maybe a couple hundred feet, you just give it a little tug, and then the mouth falls off the plank and it's trying to swim in the water.
And you know what? If there's a bass close by to that mouse, it would be a goner.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I personally caught a smallmouth that spit up a little brown or a little, you know, gray or black mouse.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, the mice run along the riprap rocks, you know, they get too close to the water, and, you know, I mean, the bass are going to jump up and get them.
Oh, yeah. I've heard stories about them, bass actually just jumping out of the water and grabbing a frog.
Exactly, yeah. And birds, too. They eat, you know, little ducks and,
really?
You know, swallows and, you know, like I said, they eat anything that will get in their mouth. But
yeah.
Once the water gets warmer and the fish start feeding up on the top, when the water state gets up to around 60 degrees, the bass really get hungry and they start eating things on top. And they will eat almost anything. You know, there's companies that, you know, we know there's a lot of companies out there that make frogs. There's some of them that make bird lures, you know, that sit on top of water. And, yeah, I mean, we throw, you know, there's snakes, you know, bass eat snakes, and, you know, like I said, anything that swims on top of the water that will fit in their mouth, they would eat it.
Well, that
or
is,
could eat it.
Yeah, that is interesting. We don't have a whole lot of time. I was just wondering if you had any particular story that you wanted to share with us about your time on the water.
Oh, God, I'm not good with stories.
Oh, well, you're an angler, just make it up.
Yeah.
But, anyway, we won't put you on the spot. It probably wasn't fair for me to do that. But Bass Angler Mag, what's in your latest issue?
Well, you know, we had the winter issue that's out right now. We have a lot in there. You know, we talk about some shallow water fishing, some swim bait fishing. You know, jerk bait fishing is pretty big in the wintertime and into the spring. And you know, a lot of guys, maybe some guys don't know what that is, and a jerkbait is a long, slender bait, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 inches long, and they dive to different depths, but, you know, in the wintertime, you want one that dives probably 5 to 8 feet deep,
okay.
And you reel it down, and you basically jerk it a couple times where it darts back and forth, and then you let it sit.
Okay, Mark. So, We're gonna have to go on this segment, it looks like. So let's go again. It's bassanglermag.com. Get a hold of that and get in touch with Mark.
Okay.
Appreciate it. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and we have Mark Lassane on the line, and we appreciate you tuning in.